This morning, I'm going to step out of the book of Acts yet again. I thought it would be very appropriate to preach a message that was on Thanksgiving. And I wanted to pull up a passage that even Jay referred to a moment ago. I want us to look at that grand 100th psalm. You are probably very familiar with it. Some of you may be able to quote it by heart. I'm going to read from the New King James Version this morning. I grew up on the King James, but New King James is still my favorite. And so I'm going to read from that text this morning. And I'm going to ask you, if you would, to join me in standing as I read the 100th Psalm. And it says, "Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands, and serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing, and know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into the gates, his gates, with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise, and be thankful to him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. And his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations." Father, we come this morning again to know that we have so much to be thankful for. But Lord, it's not just the thanksgivings of the nation that we were birthed in, because, Lord, we didn't choose to be born in a nation that was free. And this nation wasn't free because it just happened. It came at a high price. But Father, we have thanksgiving in our heart because you have invited us into a salvation that is ours, that is free, but that has come at such a great price. I pray that this morning you would refresh in our hearts, renew our thanksgiving for the real reason and the real purpose for which we have this heart of gratitude, not for the things and the stuff that we have, not even just for the peace or the absence of conflict that we may enjoy. Lord, knowing that in our world there is so much trial and tribulation that goes on, but Father, we recognize that the thanksgiving we have is for our God, our Savior, our salvation that is ours through faith in Jesus Christ, for the promise that you will be with us always in this life, and Lord, because of the grace of God, that we have an eternity to look forward to in the presence of a glorious God. We give you thanks now. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated, and as you're seated this morning, I want to just try to framework the sermon this morning around three simple words, and try to keep it within. I whittled it down from 14 to 3. Amen. You are welcome this morning. So just three words this morning. One is a word of explanation. Secondly, it's a word of exhortation, and then third, a word of expectation. And this psalm, this 100th psalm, is a psalm of procession. It was used in the worship of the Lord in the temple. It was as the children of Israel would enter into the presence of the Lord for the purpose of worship, and in particular, we understand from the historians that it was used when the peace offering was brought. You have to go back to the book of Leviticus and see how the offerings were brought in as their act of worship. Before the peace offering was brought in, there was a sin offering that was given and a trespass offering. And there was an offering made on behalf of the priests that came in order that they could enter in the presence of the Lord. So to come to God, to come into God's presence was not a light thing. when you came to church, it was as if you understood there was an arm that was stretched out and said, don't come. I am holy, and you are not, and you cannot enter into my presence. You are not welcome before me except by one way. And it was the way of sacrifice, right? So the high priest and the priest that served in the ceremony that went on before the people, that took place by the shedding of the blood and then a burnt offering that was offered. And they got to take of that meat themselves. They were instructed by the Lord to eat of it. And when you and I come to communion and we pass the plate, we give out the cup and the bread, and we take it so freely, we don't appreciate the fullness of what that's meant to imply. Because we don't have this picture before us week after week after week of the cost, the price that's paid in order for us to enter into the presence of the Lord. And so God invites us, not on the basis of what we have done, but on the basis of His Son, the sacrifice for our sin. We're invited. And a trespass offering was given. There's a difference between sin and trespass. The word for sin means to miss the mark. The word to trespass has the idea of stepping over the line. And there's a difference. But there was a sin offering that was for the priest, a trespass offering that was for the people. And then after that, it was followed up by a peace offering. And it was an offering of bread. And the people were invited now to take of that bread offering. As you came and you brought your offering to the Lord and asked for forgiveness, you were enabled to take of it. And as that was taking place, this is the psalm that they would sing. So when you hear the who of the psalm that is here, for in verse 1 it says, make a joyful, King James says, noise, and we've made a lot of fun about that over the years, about some of our inabilities to sing. But it's really a word in the Hebrew that means to exalt and to shout. It is to proclaim, it's not to be quiet. There's a time to be quiet, isn't there? There's a time to be pensive and thoughtful and reflective. But when your team has just scored the winning touchdown, you don't sit on your hands, do you? You don't. And God says there's a time in an act of worship where we are to exalt in the Lord, to shout unto God with a voice of triumph, to praise Him. And praise Him. There's a time for that to be done. And here is the moment for it to happen when we come to realize that God has invited us to come through the blood of His Son. And He invites us to freely receive of Christ. And He says, shout unto the Lord, all ye lands. Now the invitation is to everyone. The call of the gospel goes to the whole ends of the earth. And yet verse 3 clarifies that to say there are actually going to be only a certain few that are going to participate in it. Because look in verse 3, it says, and we are His people and the sheep of His pasture. So not everybody exalts in the Lord. Not everybody shouts unto God, do they? But everyone who is His people, those who are His sheep, who have heard His voice when He said, come. And so God has invited us unto Himself. So the who of this text are really those who have been redeemed. And if you've not yet been redeemed, then you won't have a cause to exalt. You won't have a cause to shout. Now, the what. Well, notice what they're to do. It says to serve the Lord with gladness in verse 2 and to come before His presence with singing. God invites us to come with grateful service unto the Lord. And there's so many opportunities to serve the Lord. And we serve the Lord by serving others. We did something at the wedding yesterday that I've never done in a wedding. And when Emily first asked me if she could do it, I was like, you have got to be kidding. And then when I found out they were going to be wearing cowboy boots, I thought, there's no way we can do this. Because after they had made their commitment and pledge of promise to one another before God, and recognizing that they are always, as a married couple, going to be standing in the need of the grace of God to be given by each other to their loving partner, they washed each other's feet before us. Yeah, it's the sweetest thing I've seen in a marriage, in a wedding. You know, what does it mean to serve the Lord with gladness? It's coming alongside others in the name of Christ to assist them and to show them grace. We don't deserve grace. We fall. Marriages fail. Cancer destroys. Our faith gets weak at times, doesn't it? I mean, sometimes we have fainting spells, and sometimes we're like we've been blindsided, T-boned. We're in ICU. And it is then that God says we are to be the body of Christ and to come and to serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. I know sometimes Jay looks at us and probably grows very discouraged. There you are up there. We are really working on a skeleton crew. Yeah, I was doing the coffee shop earlier, and now you're running the sound. We have many hats we wear, don't we? But I know it's got to frustrate you at sometimes for see us out here going, God is so good. What does it say? Come before His presence with singing. And it's a joyful singing. Notice in verse 4, enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. So how? Maybe that's where I ought to let this lead us. Serve the Lord with gladness, singing, thanksgiving, praise, thankfulness, blessing. You know, it's hard to understand how we can sit so quietly sometimes during the expressive part of our worship unto the Lord. And I realize we come in here sometimes having had battles just getting to church, right? And sometimes we've had a hard week, and sometimes we just don't feel like it. But you are led each week to worship. You are led to come. We don't always start off with excitement, but we should understand that the intent is to lead us to understand what we have in Christ Jesus, and that we are sinners in need of a Savior. And the good news is we have a great God and Savior in Jesus Christ, and that is what causes us to shout unto the Lord, to sing joyfully and gladly. Notice he goes on in here and he says the why of it. Verse 3 says, because the Lord, He is God. And He's made us. We belong to Him. We are His creation. And He longs for His creatures to do what? What creatures are intended to do, and that's praise the Lord. We forget our place sometimes, don't we? Forget who we are, that we are created in the image of God, and the image of God He made us. We have fallen into sin. We are broken and undone, but God is good. He has made us. We don't belong to ourselves. We're His people and the sheep of His pasture. And then verse 4, it says, the Lord is good because His mercy. And Jay referred to that just a moment ago. This is that word that's used to describe this relationship between David and Mephibosheth. It's His loving kindness. It's translated so many different ways in our Bibles. And the reason why it is because it's hard to translate from the Hebrew into English. It is a favor, a faithfulness, a loyalty, a love that comes out of a relationship, a promise that's been made. God will always love us. Why? Because he loves us. And he has set his love on us. And he has said to you, you are mine. And you belong to me. You know, you go into the coffee shop here and there's all of the sweets that are laid out. And you wish you could eat them all. Well, they can all be yours if you go in there and you go, mine, 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 mine. I'll let you have them all. Take them home with you. That's what God has done in his grace. I mean, he really has. He has set us apart unto himself, and he says, you belong to me. His mercy is everlasting. And know this is truth. The truth that he declares to us, how long does it last? It endures to all generations. You can take God at his word. So the explanation of the text, the exhortation. Sometimes it's hard to describe certain things. In 2 Corinthians 9:15, Paul was writing about being thankful to the Lord because his gift is indescribable. You may have seen some things that you have tried to describe to people, and it just doesn't communicate. I had an event that took place in my life, and it was such a simple thing. I was driving. I was attending a conference in the Rocky Mountains in the Canadian Rockies, and I had an afternoon off, and so I got in the car, and I just started driving. The beautiful, majestic mountains, snow-covered, driving along the highway through the valley, and all of a sudden, as it can happen so quickly in the mountains, there was a cloud that came up. And when I looked, I saw a rainbow. And the rainbow became double rainbow. And the double rainbow became a triple rainbow. And it was so overwhelming because it was like it was right there. I stopped the car and I got out. I got out of the car and I'm telling you, Matt, it looked like the end of the rainbow was as close as me to you. And I kept looking for the pot of gold, you know, at the end of the rainbow. And it must have been on the third rainbow because it wasn't on the first one, okay? It was just that close. It was majestic. It was a glorious moment. It was one of those, wow, this is about as beautiful as it gets. But you know what? I can try to describe it to you. But you have to taste and see the Lord is good. We can talk about the goodness of God. So let's just take just a moment and let you refresh in your heart. I just pulled out just a couple of statements that I want to exhort your heart with from God's word about giving thanks. We give thanks because he has given us the gift of his son. I had about six others prior to leading up to this, okay, about God's revelation and the way he reveals himself to us, but simplify it by just simply saying that God, we are to give thanks as a people because he's given us his son. Christ was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification. He was given as a gift for you and for me. The gift is undeserved and it's unmerited and it can't be earned. It's not something that you and I can do enough good. The priest who kept all of the law as best he could, tithing of even the mint, the scripture says, before he could come into the presence of God, he had to make a sacrifice. He had to fill the room with smoke. He had a routine that he had to follow exactly according to the commandments of God, and if he stepped out of line, he was dead. And all that was to picture to us that this gift of God coming, Jesus Christ becoming the Lamb of God that was slain for us, is a gift. Give thanks. Give thanks for God saves us when we call on his Son by faith. Every time a person calls upon the name of the Lord Jesus by faith, the scripture says they are born again. And I'm just pulling one verse out of hundreds of verses I could have shared this morning. In John 10:9, it says, "I am the door." Jesus is speaking here. "If anyone enters by me, he will be saved." He will be saved. Not might be saved, not could be saved, but he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Now, there's a difference between hearing the gospel and understanding and responding to the gospel, isn't there? How many times you may have sat in a situation where you heard someone talking about Christ. Maybe you sat in church, maybe you were at a revival meeting or at some youth event and you heard the gospel, but you know that if you've been saved and born again, there came a moment in time that you heard. And there weren't any magic words that had to be said, right? You know, if we were to go around the room and say, you know, what were the words that you said when you became a follower of Jesus Christ? They would be myriads of ways we may have expressed surrender, yieldedness, trust, faith. "Lord, I'm desperate. I have nowhere else to turn, but I recognize you're the Christ. You're the Savior. Lord, I bow my knee. Lord, I'm desperate." The words could be so different. But whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. It ought to put thanksgiving in our hearts that he didn't say you had to attain a certain standard. You had to meet a certain requirement in order to please God. The requirements for our justification were completed vicariously for us. Someone did it in your behalf. And he imputes his righteousness. That is, he gives it to you. And he places on you by faith. And he gives you the faith, for we are saved by grace through faith and not of ourselves. They are the gift of God, not of works. We would brag. So our thanksgiving today is one of knowing that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Spurgeon made this statement about that. He said, "The same voice that brought Lazarus out of the tomb raised us to newness of life." God spoke, Lazarus came forth alive. And today, I hope there's thanksgiving in your heart because you recognize God didn't choose you because you were great. You are saved because God called you to be his own. And it should be with hearts of gratefulness and thanksgiving that we celebrate who he is. We give thanks because of salvation is a free gift. In Titus 3, 4, and 5, it says, "But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, it was not by works of righteousness that we have done, but according to his mercy he has saved us through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. Nothing good have we to bring, but simply to the cross we cling." Dietrich Bonhoeffer, that martyr for the faith during the Nazi invasion, occupation of Europe, he made this statement. He said, "The step into the situation where faith is possible is not an offer which we can make to Jesus, but always it is his gracious offer to us." What was he saying? He was saying salvation is not something that we fall upon, that we come upon, that we initiate, but it is him doing what? Coming after us. It's what Spurgeon used to refer to as the hound dogs of heaven. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And I don't know how it was for you, but that's how it was for me. In a time I wasn't seeking the Lord, and it may have been with you, a time you were not seeking the Lord, that he came seeking after you, demonstrating the goodness of his grace and the tender mercies of his loving kindness, coming after you. Salvation is that way. That's why we give thanks. We give thanks because he's the one that seeks us. Number four. Jesus said, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." He came hotly after us in pursuit, loving you, wooing you, calling you, opening your eyes that you might behold the glory of the Lord. How could we not give thanks? Thankful for a car? Yes. That's nothing. Thankful for clothing? Yes. It can't compare. It does. These things don't even come into the reason why we give thanks unto the Lord. He has sought us. That's why I want to lead us to the exhortation. We sing a song around here. It's called "All I Have Is Christ." I think we have the words up here. Follow as I read it. I will not sing it for you, and you're welcome. I was once was lost in darkest night, yet though I knew the way, the sin that promised joy and life had led me to the grave. I had no hope that you, the Lord, would own a rebel to your will. And if you had not loved me first, I would refuse you still. I'd still be where I am. But as I ran my hell-bound race, indifferent to the cost, you looked upon my helpless state and led me to the cross. And I beheld God's love displayed. You suffered in my place. You bore the wrath reserved for me. Now all I know is grace. The shame of our sin, the guilt that we have borne, has been replaced by grace. Now, Lord, I would be yours alone and live so all might see the strength to follow your commands could never come from me. Oh, Father, use my ransomed life in any way you choose, and let my song forever be my only boast is you. Hallelujah. All I have is Christ. Hallelujah. Jesus is my life. There are two stories that I want to relate to you in closing this morning. Number one occurs in the book of Luke. In Luke chapter 17, the text is verses 12 through 19. You might remember there were 10 lepers. And I think in both of these stories involve lepers. I think lepers are a very fitting picture of what it is to be unsaved. No one really determines they're going to become a leper, right? It's not something you pick. We were born in sin. Weren't we? Now, we've chosen to sin, every one of us, but we do it out of a sinful nature so that even when we are born, we need grace. And no one wants to be around a leper. It is a picture of separation from God. So there are 10 lepers who are sitting together. They're standing off from Jesus because they're not invited in the presence of the rabbi. But they cry out from a distance, what? Lord, have mercy on us. Do you remember what Jesus did? Jesus showed mercy on them, didn't he? He went to the 10 lepers, and what did he do? He healed them. And then he instructed them to go to the priest and show themselves under the priest so that they might be ceremonially cleansed. And what did they do? They did that. And they experienced what's the potential, I think, for everyone in Christ. But you remember the story, don't you? How many returned? Only one came back. And I want you to look at how the passage concludes in verse 19. And Jesus said to the one, well, let me begin verse 17. Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, he speaks to the one man that returned, you arise. It's a word of freedom. It's a word of life. It's a word of expectation. You arise and you go your way. And notice what he says, your faith has made you well. The offer of salvation to the world goes out to who? Whoever. Not everyone comes. One man came back. And that one man is a picture of the one who has been converted, saved, and born again of the Spirit of God. One who by faith has become God's child, who's been set free, who has a life of praise and celebration and thanksgiving, so that we enter his courts with thanksgiving. Or we enter his gates with thanksgiving. We enter his courts with praise. There's another story that's told over in the Old Testament. It doesn't give us the number of lepers, but in 2 Kings chapter 7, we have the story. And it's said in the context of something that would sound somewhat familiar, because Israel was being attacked by Syria. They were being besieged by Syria. Elisha was the prophet in that day. And Elisha had prophesied that this judgment was going to come, but in a time when they had been besieged by Syria, meaning no supplies were able to come and go. They were becoming hungry. The weeks turned into months. So badly that it said that women were willing to give their own children for food because everyone was so hungry. I mean, it's desperate days. And Elisha says, by tomorrow, God is going to so bless Israel that what at one point a year's salary would buy a donkey's head, now all of a sudden a penny will pay for a meal on tomorrow. No one could believe what was about to happen. And matter of fact, they didn't believe it. There were these lepers that were there, and they said, you know what, no one takes care of us. We have nothing to eat. Why don't we leave the camp here of the Israelites? Let's go to the Syrians. If we go to the Syrians and they have mercy on us and feed us, we'll be blessed. We'll be able to eat. If we go to the Syrians and they decide to kill us, it'll be merciful. And so they arose. They went at nighttime, or as the sun was going down, and when they arrived at the camp of the Syrians, you know what they found? They went into one tent and they found all of this food, all of the treasure. The Bible says that they went in and they ate. Right? I mean, they just started scarfing it up like it's Thanksgiving dinner. And then they looked around and they saw all of the jewels and the treasures that they had, and they gathered them up out of that tent, and they went out of the camp and they dug a hole and they put all the treasure in. And you know what they did? They came back to the next tent. I mean, these guys are coming back. They're saying, man, this is great. Well, what had happened? The Lord had caused them to hear the noise of chariots about them, the Syrians, so that they were afraid and they left their tents. And these lepers go back into the next tent and they start doing the same thing over again. But then they come to a conclusion. Verse 9. They said to one another, we're not doing right. This is a day of good news. We remain silent. If we wait here until light, some punishment will come upon us. Now, therefore, come, let us go and tell the king's household. all of a sudden they had this bounty that was coming to them, and they had this realization, we are being blessed, but everybody else is being left out. We are not doing right. I want to call you today to maybe as a child of God to understand that you were lost in your sin and God has saved you. What did that leper do when he came back to Jesus? He came with thanksgiving in his heart. A life willing to serve. Do whatever God wanted him to do. And maybe today you need to come in renewal of surrender to the Lord as a child of God. It may be that you need to come to be saved today, to place faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the only way of salvation. There's not two ways or four ways. There's one way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me, Christ said. And then secondly, as children of God who have accepted this grace and received it and been blessed by it, what does God tell us to do? Go and tell. We don't do well when we're quiet. So this week, God wants us to be thankful and let people know why we're thankful. We're thankful because of the grace of God in Jesus Christ. And let's celebrate Him. And let's share Him. Let's bow together in a word of prayer. Father, our hearts at times become indifferent, hard-hearted because of sin. And Father, we forget to come on the blood-sprinkled way. To realize that, Lord, we are all lepers. We're all separated from you because of sin. But you are the one who takes away the leper spots. You make us whole within and without. And you bid us come. You call us to come. Enter your gates with thanksgiving, courts with praise, because the Lord is good. And His mercy, His loving kindness, His tender love is to all generations, to anyone who would come to Christ. So I pray, Lord, this moment, call names like you did Lazarus. Like you did Bill. Like you did Mary. They heard your voice come. And they were saved and born again, and now they have a life that's been redeemed. And then, Lord, help us as the redeemed to say so. That the Lord is good. Thanksgiving in our hearts, gratefulness and joy because of the greatness of our Savior. Not because I'm an American. But Lord, I have something far greater than that. I'm yours. I have an eternal home in heaven. I'm looking for a city that's not here, but one that's secured in heaven. Lord, all the rent's been paid. Lord, all the provisions are in Christ Jesus, and they're eternal. And they'll last forever. God, thank you. Help me now to be a saint that gives thanksgiving to you, to the glory of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.